is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Russian maritime strategy, most recently announced by the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin. It is long-term, it is strategic and tactical. Tactical speaking to the conflict zones right now. Strategic speaking to the balance of the 21st century and onward, both military and civilian, chiefly maritime. I welcome Ekaterina Zolotova of the Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site. She's an analyst in Moscow, writing about the planning in the maritime strategy. Ekaterina, a very good evening to you. Vladimir Putin's presentation to the Russian people and to the Russian Navy. Did this encourage people? Was this seen as a bright note, especially because the Navy has drifted into disrepair these many decades since the end of the Soviet Union? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and it's great to be here again. Well, I will start that this day, it is the 31st of June, sorry, July, it is the 31st of July. It's celebrated very widely in Russia. There is a big parade in St. Petersburg, and many other cities in Russia also celebrate this. This day, there was a parade, and this day Putin presented the new doctrine. It's a Navy doctrine, it's a very important document of strategic planning. I can't say that right now, people, they were very excited about this because it was very expected, first of all. And the second, there are some issues and some constraints that Russia still faces in this sector of Navy, of trade in the sea, and the presence in the sea. So, in fact, this doctrine, it's a very big and very important strategic planning document, and it has a lot of goals, it has a lot of aims, and it also specifies the Russian needs and the Russian interests in the sea, in the world ocean. So we consider it as a very huge plan, as very important plan, but for the moment we understand, Russian people may understand that it requires a lot of strength, a lot of money, a lot of time, investments, and of course, special independent technologies that for this moment, sometimes Russia doesn't have.
You write that there are two main purposes for the new strategy. The first is zones of interest, especially in conflict zones. What is the emphasis in zones of interest?
This document divides the world ocean, or better to say, the seas that is close to Russia, into two parts. There is a vital part and there is important part. So the vital, it's the areas that are very close to the Russian borders. And Russia consider the presence of some ships in that area a strategical threat. For example, it can be the Caspian Sea, it can be some internal waters, and so on. The important waters are the waters that are also close to Russia, and they can pose some threat to Russia if there are some ships of NATO, for example, or some other fleets. It is the Black Sea, it is Azov Sea, and right now there is a big focus on the sea, these two seas, because of the military operation in Ukraine. It is also the seas that Russia has potential interest, for example, in the Arctic and many others.
Yes, priorities, that's important. And you mentioned the Arctic, so let's start there because that's entirely new. What is the thinking about the Arctic in light of climate change and Russia has a bounty of icebreakers? What is the long-term thinking?
Right now, Arctic becomes very important again. The Arctic was mentioned in a doctrine that was before the current one. This doctrine was signed in 2001, and there was a mention of Arctic, but this paragraph was not very huge, and the goals were not very clear. But right now, the Arctic is on the first position. It is the first regional direction that Russia specified, and there are two major things that have three major things that are very interesting for Russia there. The first one is security. There are some bases and there is the Northern Fleet. And right now, Russia is constantly constructing and modernizing this fleet. The second one, it is resources. The Arctic The Arctic Ocean and the Arctic area is very rich in resources, especially oil and gas, and this is why Russia has particular interest there. And the final one, it is the trade route. There is a big project of Northern Trade Route. Of course, there are a lot of questions about its working and its how the government is going to realize it, because there are still some questions about the icebreakers, especially in the winter season. They say that there is not enough technologies to break the ice that is more than 4 meters, for example. But anyhow, Russia is very interested to keep this way and to start to trade between the east, for example, China, through this route, and to be like a transit area, maybe not just a transit area, just to bring the goods and the resources to its own Arctic. So indeed, there are a lot of projects. Yeah, there is a lot of investments in the northern trade route. There is a lot of investments into the cities, a lot of programs that are restoring the cities that are situated in that area. Indeed, during the last maybe 5 years, the government is putting a lot of attention to that.
And the Pacific Fleet, the Pacific opening, Vladivostok and otherwise, has been in the news in my lifetime chiefly because of military. Is that seen also as a development for Russian maritime strategy? You report that Russia's interested in geological knowledge of the Sea of Japan, the Sea of Okhotsk, and the Bering Sea. So they're now researching what the resources are. Are they plumbing? Are they planning to go down to the bottom of the sea with dives?
Well, if we will look at the doctrine, we will see that the Pacific Fleet is also included to some Arctic activities. We see the mention of the Northern Fleet and the Pacific Fleet at the same time. So we can expect that the Pacific Fleet will be involved into some scientific researches, fishing industry, which is very important right now, especially in the sanctions, in some military activities. And of course, Russia would like to have the security way to the Pacific Ocean. There are some constraints from Japan about the Kuril Islands. So the presence over there and the increasing of the fleet is very strategically important for Russia as well.
Yes, the Kuril Islands, they've been an issue for decades and decades. That is a dispute that has not been settled, is my memory. And it has to do with treaties or interpretations of treaties that date back before the Second War or after the Second War. Now back to the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov. You say necessarily there's a lot of concentration there. And Crimea is the basis for the Black Sea Fleet. Are there plans to expand the Black Sea Fleet's reach into the Mediterranean? There has been a number of cities mentioned over the last decade in Syria and even Alexandria in Egypt as possible bases for the Russian fleet. Is that conversation in the maritime strategy, partnerships?
Yes, indeed, there is this conversation about partnerships. Russia understands that if it wants to be, if it wants to have a great share and if it wants to have great positions in the world ocean, it needs to have some bases. It needs to have some areas where it can repair its ships, where it can have some supplies and fill the supplies and so on. The fact of having the bases, it's also very important. The Soviet Union the Soviet Union had stronger fleet. The Soviet Union had bases compared with Russia. There were bases in Egypt. There were bases in Tunisia, in some African countries. So the Soviet Union could make the Soviet Union could make its fleet working compared with Russia. Russia right now has only base in the Mediterranean Sea. It is Syria. And in fact, it is not enough to be the the country that wants to stay in the ocean as the great power. So, in fact, the presence in the Black Sea and then going to the Mediterranean Sea and further to the Red Sea, it's very important for Russia, and it is included into the maritime doctrine. For example, the Navy doctrine specifies the Red Sea especially. It notes that there can be the potential, some potential projects with the countries over there. There can be some potential bases. Of course, it doesn't specify exactly the directions. But I think that Russia is going to coordinate with the countries where there were some previous Soviet bases, simply because there was some experience and maybe something has left from this time.
I'm speaking with Ekaterina Zolotova of Geopolitical Futures, commenting on the Russian maritime strategy just released in these last weeks, looking forward to the 21st century. All the basing and the seas and the plans require, of course, vessels. So when we come back, what is the Russian Navy now? What was it during the Soviet period? And what are the ambitions to build? The warships, also maritime ships for trade. I'm John Batchelor.